and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying
This is the Quality News Network. Another bloody day in central Baghdad. A double car bombing in a secondhand clothing marketplace has killed at least 78 civilians. More than 150 have been wounded. Another marketplace bombing minutes ago has killed at least 12 and wounded 30. The U.S. military says Saturday was the deadliest day for American forces in Iraq in 2 years. 27 troops were killed Saturday, 12 of them when their Black Hawk helicopter was shut down by insurgents. As President Bush prepares his State of the Union address for tomorrow, polls show he is the least popular president since Richard Nixon. The most recent Ipsos poll says 66% of Americans think the country is on the wrong track. Newsweek's poll says support for the president's handling of the Iraq war has hit a new low, 24%. Iraq's prime minister says he will no longer offer protection to Cleric al-Sadr's Shia militia. He says he's been convinced by American intelligence agents the group supports death squads that have killed thousands of Iraqi citizens. For the first time, Vietnam will allow the U.S. Navy to search for American forces missing in action 30 years ago. More than 58,000 Americans and 3 million Vietnamese died in America's 13-year war there. Thousands remain missing. In Morocco, 5 men imprisoned by the U.S. in Guantanamo Bay have been found innocent of terrorism in Moroccan court. After having been in prison for years, the men were released into the custody of the Moroccan government. In Iran, 38 inspectors with the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency have reportedly been denied entrance to the country. Also, Iran's president announced 3 days of military missile tests beginning today. In Belgrade, Serbia's first parliamentary election since Montenegro declared independence gave Slobodan Milosevic's party more than 28% of the vote. The most Western-leaning party received 23%. The UN is expected to announce the future of Serbia's province, Kosovo, within the next few days. Another winter storm is battering mid-America and the central Atlantic coast. Snow, ice, and frigid temperatures have killed 11 so far. In Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court today limited judges' discretion in sentencing prisoners. The ruling in a California case may shave as many as 4 years from most prisoners' sentences. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
By the year 2050, most glaciers will have melted in the Alps. That's according to scientists from Austria's Innsbruck University. They say flooding can be expected, as well as the loss of Europe's most prestigious ski resorts. Canada announced a multi-million-dollar plan to protect its portion of the world's largest temperate rainforest. $25 million will come from Canadian coffers, $51 million from mostly American private conservation groups. The rainforest stretches from Vancouver all the way through the Alaska Panhandle. American human rights groups are cooperating with some of the largest internet companies, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and Vodafone, to develop a program to guarantee civil liberties for online customers. Human Rights China, Reporters Without Borders, and others are involved. Eaton today posted a 14.8% increase in quarterly profit. The diversified manufacturer cited good sales in its fluid power and electrical units. Toyota says it intends to produce a super low-cost vehicle soon. The Japanese carmaker says the car will radicalize design and production. The car will cost less than $6,200. Light sweet crude is trading at $52.45 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 86 points, NASDAQ down 21, S&P 500 down 6. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right. Thank you, Bob. It's a beautiful, snowy day here in Chicago, Chi-Town, city with the big shoulders, the Windy City, a wonderful, wonderful city here off of Lake Michigan. How's everybody doing today? I hope you're all well. It's just a wonderful day out. It's nice when it snows, and everybody in Chicago is, well, not everybody, but probably about half the city are a little bit hungover from the celebration from the Chicago Bears' big victory yesterday, and the Bears are going to the Super Bowl. I told Tommy, see, I moved to Chicago, and the Bears go to the Super Bowl, okay? I leave Atlanta, and then the Falcons start playing bad. I come to Chicago, and the Bears go to the Super Bowl, right? Whether they can win it, we don't know, but it's 2 weeks from now in Miami, and for the next 2 weeks, this town is going to be talking about practically nothing but. And, you know, as much as I like sports and stuff like that, it still pales in comparison, of course, to what's going on in the world outside. But as I keep trying to remind myself and to remind other people, sports are one of those things that make life worth living. I don't mean sports in specific, but sports and arts, you know, the classics, things like that. You know, if you like to read, these are the things that make life worthwhile, because life is more than just survival. Ladies and gentlemen, life is more than just making enough money to pay your rent and pay your bills, okay? And it's unfortunate that there's a lot of people in the world and in this country who think that the race for money is the only thing that makes things worthwhile. And it's funny because the same people who complain about, you know, talk about how money is everything will complain that the football players and stuff make too much money. Now, yes, they make obscene amounts of money, to be sure. But when you consider how few football players they are, how they have to play at a very high level and do their job in front of millions of people, and again, when you consider how much the entire industry is worth, and yes, and it's their right to get their share. They're still working people. And I would think somewhere along the lines of 70 to 80% of football players never last more than 3 or 4 years in the NFL. It's very rare that you have people that last 10 or 15 years in the NFL. And for a lot of people, 10 or 15 years in the job is not even enough to retire on. And, you know, a lot of the people who complain the most about, you know, the football players and the baseball players and all that, and these are people who are not in unions. And the reason why the football players and the baseball players and the basketball players and the hockey players and all these people, the reason why they make so much money is because at one point or another, the players got together and stood up for themselves. And baseball had an even tougher uphill fight for it, because baseball is the only business in the country that is exempted from antitrust laws. In other words, they have a legal monopoly on baseball because it's considered a unique American pastime. And they had to fight that, as well as, you know, owners who, as usual, complained that they weren't making enough money. They always say that. Don't let anybody ever fool you when they tell you that they can't afford to pay you this, they can't afford to pay that, you know, we can't afford to pay minimum wage, blah, blah, blah. The truth of the matter is, the way a lot of companies pretend to be profitable now is to lay off a lot of people and say, see, we're profits are up because we're not expending so much. And the shareholders say, oh, that's really good, we're making more money. And meanwhile, you know, you've got a bunch of people, you know, laid off of work and trying to find other work. I was watching before the game, and I generally don't watch pregame or postgame stuff. I'm not interested in the commentary. I might read a little bit here and there, but I'm not really interested in delving into huge details about, you know, what linebacker does this, and, you know, how if this line takes two steps to the left, he can actually, you know, prevent somebody from getting blah blah blah. You know, that's going way too far. I just like to watch the game, you know. But I was watching, and I had Lou Holtz on, the former coach for the Notre Dame football team. And he was talking about Jack Welch. And he was saying how, you know, he always admired Jack Welch and how Jack Welch said, you know, how to lay off 10,000 people to save 150,000. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. What kind of retirement package did this guy get? It was worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And apart from the money, he was also getting a free apartment, a free house, use of the corporate plane, use of corporate vehicles. What the hell did he need the money for? I mean, you know, you're making hundreds of millions of dollars and you're retiring. Where are you going to eat? Are you going to Mars to have breakfast? With all that money, you know, with several hundred million dollars, how many workers could you afford to pay and keep on the payroll? And so, no, you didn't lay off 10,000 people to save 150,000. You laid off 10,000 people so you can make the shareholders look good and feel good, and so that you can get a big retirement package. And all this talk about, you know, every time they talk about the minimum wage, they're always saying, oh, my God, we can't afford to pay that. That's just a load of crap. That's just crap. They're lying to you, just as big corporate interests have always lied to their working people. And now they're going on about the pensions. My God, we can't afford to pay these pensions. You know? To these big corporations, people like you and me, ladies and gentlemen, we are just tools. We are pawns. We are expendable items, disposable, to be picked up and thrown away. That's what we are. And the only way you can change that is by grouping together with your fellow workers and to stop fighting amongst yourself. And that's really our biggest problem. Because we have, I don't even know if it's a work ethic, it's more like a work psychosis, where we brag to each other about how hard we're working. And we tell people to stop complaining, stop rocking the boat. You know what? Rock the boat. Rock the boat. If you hate your job, quit. If your job is treating you like crap, you quit. If you work for a company like Walmart, and Walmart's the biggest evil of them, quit. Because I'll tell you one thing that's true about all these corporations, and the biggest thing they fear is us finding out that without us, they don't make anything. They can't make a penny without your hard work. And they want to build a society where you're frightened and intimidated, so that you stay at your job because you don't have any other choice. You can call that indentured servitude. You can call that, you know, pseudo-slavery, whatever you want to call it. But when you have corporations running the government, which is what we have now, corporatism, that's what you get. And what you have to understand, that unless you stand up for yourself, you are nothing but a tool. You are a disposable item. You are picked up and thrown away. And Walmart is doing this thing now where they got, what they call it, flexible hours or something like that, where instead of a regular steady schedule, they will call you in when it's busier and send you home when it's not busy. Now, could you imagine trying to live your life like that, especially if you have kids? You're trying to raise a family, and you have to depend on that job. And you have to depend on that job having a set schedule. And then all of a sudden you don't have a set schedule. You're on call 24-7 practically. Well, maybe it is 24-7 if you work for one of those Walmarts. That's 24 hours. And then they call you in, and you work for a few hours. And therefore they don't have to pay for as many hours, because you don't really need to work 40 hours a week. You just need to be there for 40 hours a week. But you should still be paid for it, because you're there to fulfill a job. And if you force working people to be on call like that, no one's going to have any kind of real family life. And you're still not making enough money to support that family. Because corporations aren't interesting anymore, interested in anything more in their bottom line. And their bottom line is what is good for their shareholders. It's not a worker society, it's a shareholder society. You know what? It's time for our Beatles break. Let's go ahead and do that. If you want to call in and get in the action, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4HEAD-ON. We'll be back with another 15 minutes or so. The Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the show. By the way, I want to thank Agnes out there, lovely Agnes Kincaid, for producing the show today. And she does a very, very good job. And she's always a very pleasant voice for people to call in and listen to because she's just really, really sweet and really, really nice. And so, you know, and again, the number to call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can talk to Agnes before, and sometimes Agnes produces it, and sometimes Bob produces it, and sometimes Zach produces it. We've got some wonderful people working here at the Head On Radio Network. The show is produced out of West Virginia, by the way, and that's the lovely wonderfulness of the internet. That was awful. That came out all wrong. That's just what's great about the internet, that we can do this, and that it's a tool. It's vox populi. It's the voice of the people. It's a tool that people who don't have enough money for a mass emitter, or to produce newspapers and things like that. The internet is just a way for people to get their voice out. Whether you think it's ridiculous or not, whether, you know, you got a bunch of lies out there and a bunch of crap, it doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter to a certain extent, but the important thing is that voices like ours here in the Head On Network, myself and Mark Levine, John Fox, Bruce Birch, Bob Kincaid, Bill O'Brien, Dr. Bill, all of them, all of us have a chance to air our voices. And, of course, we have a chance to talk to our wonderful listeners. And we have Dave from California on the phone. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, great. You do have some very excellent people there. Very good observation. You got me thinking about something that troubles me a lot. That is how such very greedy, such totally exploitive people have gained so much power and influence of late. I wonder, I suppose throughout history there's always been some sociopathic types of just pure greed and can't get enough for themselves and don't care how much harm they do to others getting it. But they seem to have just moved into ruling spots all over the world right now. How did that happen? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, they're very, very good at what they do, at least the ones who are successful anyway. And they never sleep. They're driven by that. And that's their thing. And the reason why they get the power is because a lot of us, not directly, but indirectly, help them. Because, you know, look, guys like you and me, Dave, we're just interested in doing our own thing, doing our own lives. We're not interested in running anybody else's lives. And, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to politics because of that. And that's really the attitude that helps people like that gain power, because we don't want to spend the energy to fight them all the time. And I think that's a real good thing. It's like I'm having you know, battles with my current landlord, and I have to go out and you know, determine whether or not it's worth the hassle to stay here or just up and leave.
Well, you know, I've made a general observation. There are people who care about other people, probably in varying degrees, and there's people who tend not to care about others, but see them as there only to be exploited. I think that is kind of in the most general rule of what we have now with this neocons versus the Democrats. And it also occurs to me that if we compete, if you and I both open a clothespin factory and I say I'm going to pay my employees well, I'm going to give them health insurance, you say I'm going to shortcut them every way I can and take them off the clock and pay them as little as I can, you'd be able to produce your product at a much cheaper rate than me, and you should probably be able to put me out of business. And in the end, I guess the most exploitative of people will be what the survivors are. The system that I guess tends to cannibalize those that are decent.
Well, you know, that's why when I talk about being a liberal and I talk about government regulation, I mean, if that was the case, the government should step in and say, no, you're not doing legitimate business practices. You're just basically cheating, which is what you're doing by screwing your employees, especially if you're stealing from your employees like what Walmart does. And that's literally what they do in a lot of cases, by making them work without paying them. That's stealing from them. And the government should step in with the force of law and say, you're simply not going to do that. Everybody's going to get paid at least X amount of money. And, of course, you know, the whole health care thing. You know, if we had a single payer where it just came out of taxes you know, it wasn't based on for-profit and stuff like that, then, you know, the employers wouldn't have to worry about dealing with it. If someone got sick, they could take care of it and not, you know, have a hassle with who's paying what insurance, because the companies generally are the ones that handle that. So.
Right.
Too detailed for you?
This government, of course, that we have, and maybe you have it there too, has not been remotely interested in trying to do the right thing. Only for the billionaires, and they do have they get a piece of that. They have their hand out to all of these Bechtels and Halliburton.
Right.
So they're being bribed to go with the flow that they want.
Well, the government gives out huge subsidies to a lot of different corporations, and the premise is that they're supposed to use those subsidies to help to create jobs and to promote business and competition. But in fact, what they do with that money is they turn around and they start political action committees or they lobby lawmakers and stuff like that to give them more tax subsidies and more of this. And, you know, they fill the campaign coffers. And to a politician, unfortunately, in this day and age, someone who can donate $10,000 is worth more than someone who has 10,000 votes.
Indeed, and poor people cannot afford to bribe or pay off any politicians.
I certainly can't. No. It would be interesting. Who would I bribe, and what would I bribe them for?
Well, to act on behalf of the have-nots or the working people.
If they weren't have-nots, you know, then they, you know, if they're have-nots, then they have not the money to do all that. So,
yeah.
You know, it kind of works against it.
And if your job is that you sweep up the floor in a local Wendy's at night as a janitor, and you make minimum wage, and then I'm coming up with a plan that sets some of that aside for your retirement someday, because we'd like to take away Social Security. That's how is a poor person ever going to be able to do that? And
there are some people, as far as, like I said, as far as they're concerned, you're just disposable. You know, they got the guy that sweeps the floor, and when he gets too old to do it, you get somebody else, and that guy's like out in his ass, and that's it. You know, and in my feeling, you know, we work together as a society, humans do. And we survive by working together and cooperating with each other. And there are things that private industry does better than government, and there are things that government does better than private industry. And you have to have a separation between the two, and you have to have a balance of power between the two. And that balance does not exist anymore. It's pretty much all corporate interests. And it has been that way for most of the time in this country, with the exception of the New Deal years, I would imagine.
Well, I think we've been very fortunate at several points to have had people in power that cared about the people and tried to do the right thing. I think that was, Jefferson, Madison, Washington, they wanted to do the right by the people. There was not a lot of sophisticated safety nets in place in those times, but I would say that certainly Roosevelt, Truman, Kennedy.
Well, sure.
Carter.
Well, you have to understand that the world of the Founding Fathers was a completely different world. I mean, they lived in an agrarian society with maybe 1 or 2 million people that lived in the country at the time of the writing of the Constitution. In fact, I've been reading about that rather extensively because of some work I'm doing about the Electoral College, and I'm reading about not just the politics that are going on, but the society that they all lived in. And when people talk about, well, they only wanted property owners to be voters, but there was a very different thing to own property back in 1787, because there was a lot more property to be had, and pretty much anybody who was able and willing to work a small plot of land, and again, we're not talking about a vast estate, an acre or so, a couple acres, anybody who was willing to do that could afford to buy it, and so long as they worked it. So it was a different situation, but you know, slavery back then, and you still had a lot of exploitation. It wasn't a paradise by any stretch of the imagination, but when they talk about property owners, it was a very, very different thing for them. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt understood that in the Industrial Revolution, with the new economy, as it was, that there needed to be more government education. And one of the things that helped that about was things like Jacob Riis's books, How the Other Half Live, which was mostly photographs of how poor people were living in slums in New York, and it basically shamed people to doing the right thing. So
it doesn't get turned around and turned around big time here very shortly, this is going to be a dreadful place to live very soon.
Well, I think what it really boils down to how the American people react to it. I mean, we're the ones that allowed Mr. Bush to get into power in the first place, because we didn't take the steps necessary. We weren't vocal enough in demanding that our the so-called professional media and that our politicians behave in the right way. We've got a very vocal minority who are very driven to their cause. I mean, what was it? There's still 17% of the people who strongly support the president, and I'm wondering who these 17% are. You know, they're probably watching the Hypnotone. Everything's well, everything's fine in Iraq, the economy's good, you know. Of the three types, you know, the people who are in on the scam, people who want to be in on the scam, and people who aren't aware they're being scammed. Those are the three types that are currently voting Republican.
Yeah, this is a faction of people I find that so want to believe that they're a part of a great nation that does good in the world and brings peace and democracy that they will only tune in the channel that will tell them that. You know?
Exactly. And listen, I hate to cut you off, but we're coming off at the bottom of the hour here, and we got to take a little break.
Always a
Dave,
pleasure.
Thanks for calling, Dave. Always glad to have you on. Always glad to have my callers. And, of course, anybody else who wants to call in, the number is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we got the first half hour done, and I'm just waiting on the music here. Here we go. There we go. All right, we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty, and you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And how's everybody doing? Zach has taken over for Agnes in the producer slot. So if you want to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and you can get in on the action here, just like Dave. Always nice to have callers on the show because it makes my job a lot easier. I'm a lazy bastard, what can I say? I was listening to the Quality News Network, all the bad news coming out of Iraq, and it really kind of depresses me, because, you know, like I said, I was watching the football game over the weekend, and I do like to watch the game, and but I recognize the perspective of things that go on in life, and it's kind of a shame that I feel bad about sitting there just trying to enjoy myself for a weekend when all this stuff is going on in Iraq, and stuff that I tried to prevent, you know, as futile as it was, and stuff that I certainly didn't want to happen, and stuff that I certainly do not believe reflects what I think to be American values. But unfortunately, we have an administration and we have a press corps that doesn't see it that way. The administration is willing to lie and say and do anything to get their way on a particular issue. And they have no shame about it. In the New York Times over the weekend, Frank Rich, and you know, it's amazing to see anybody in the professional media just come out straight and say it like that, but Frank Rich just calls them on the administration on their lying. And that's basically what they're doing. Now they're lying about Iran. They're trying to get into Iran. I guess they got 2 years to do something about Iran. And, you know, there was news that the Israelis were going to drop some nukes. And all the best estimates by people who know about this stuff know that Iran is at best 10 years away from developing a nuclear weapon. And it's really kind of stupid to even think about whether they have it, because, you know, if they did use it, that we would flatten them with our own nuclear weapons. We would. And I'd be all for it. But you can't sit there and say they have the potential to make a threat, and therefore we have to act militarily right now. And apparently, earlier on, in 2003 or so, I guess it was, the Iranians were perfectly willing to give concessions in exchange for being able to help negotiate and maybe, you know, cause a little peace in Iraq so that the war wouldn't happen, or maybe to help after the war. And they were basically turned down. And the serious people, what few serious people that are in the government, were trying to get something done so that it was done in a reasonable manner, so that we wouldn't have to go to war, or so that after the war the occupation would go a lot better. But it was refused because, oh hell, I don't know. I can't try to understand the mindset of people like Mr. Cheney, of people like you know, Mr. Bush. I just don't understand what it is they want out of life. And why they feel the need to go ahead and do things like declare war on Iraq and to declare war on Iran now. And they're just they have their own reasons for it. All I want is for them to stop. All I want is to prevent them from having the power to do these things. And that's really the difference between, you know, my show and the shows on the Head-On Radio Network and all of us left-wing people and the people on the right wing. Because the people on the right wing would rather see me dead. They would rather see Hillary Clinton dead. They would rather see Nancy Pelosi dead. And that station out in California that was talking about putting a target on Nancy Pelosi's back. I mean, they're openly advocating. They won't admit it, but they're openly advocating killing people. To me, I don't want Mr. Bush dead. I don't want anybody to pull a bullet through his head. I don't want anything like that to happen. I don't want anybody to kill Mr. Cheney. I don't want that. I don't want it for so many plainly obvious reasons, and the biggest one being murder is just plain wrong. I could be more cynical and skeptical and say that it's just counterproductive, because it's not the people that's the problem, it's the idea that's the problem. Because people like Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney have been around for ages. Like Dave mentioned, there's always been very greedy people in this country. They've always existed, and they probably always will exist. The question is, how do we deal with them? And how do we keep them from getting power? And if they do manage to get power, how can we keep them in check? And it's remarkable to me, as I'm reading the history of the formation of the country, how everything was done without use of force. We didn't have very much of a standing army back then, and nobody threatened to say that, well, I'm in control of X amount of military, and therefore you're going to do things my way. Nobody suggested that, even as they felt very strongly about their opinions. Alexander Hamilton, one of the greatest Americans, there were ideas of which he was wrong, I believe, but he supported a constitutional monarchy. And he didn't go out and raise his own army to try to force his way. No, these people debated. And they compromised. And they were talking about the nation as a whole as divided between states and divided between people and blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately, for the most part, the states' powers, the states' rights people, won most of their arguments. The biggest one being the three-fifths rule for slaves. But the point of the matter is, it was not done at the point of a gun. And I was contrasting that with a book I had been reading about the Byzantine Empire. The Eastern Roman Empire, which was founded in Constantinople by the Emperor Constantine. And throughout its entire history, it's really nothing much more than who killed who to become emperor, who in turn was killed by somebody else, who they declared war on, or who they defended themselves against, and all the different religious schisms that they had going on. Whether it's between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, or the Christians versus the Muslims. And that's really it. You know, you can really sum up all of European history to that extent, or most of it anyway, especially when you're talking about monarchies. But America was founded on the ideas of the Enlightenment, on pure debate, and it's just wonderful to hear, you know, the things that went on. And talking about, you know, I'm researching specifically the Electoral College, but in everything, it just kind of went back and forth. What will be acceptable to the most amount of people in the convention? And whether or not someone was going to betray their principles. And you know, they met in secret. That's a big thing, that they met in secret. And they didn't let anybody know what was going on in there. In fact, technically speaking, they weren't even supposed to be discussing a constitution. They were supposed to be just amending the Articles of Confederation. But they all knew that the Articles of Confederation weren't enough. And the big reason that they held together is because that there was a military threat from England and from Spain. Not directly, but the British and the Spanish in particular, who held a lot of area and who wanted to regain control of areas they had lost or take new territories, it was a very important thing for the United States to remain divided. And people talk about what the spirit of the Constitution was, what the spirit of the Founding Fathers was. What the spirit of the Founding Fathers was, more than anything else, was to have a united nation for their own protection. If there had not been the threat of military invasion by Britain and by Spain and by other countries, the convention never would have taken place. Because every state was perfectly happy to have their own currency, to have their own economy, and to, you know, to do their own deal. But becoming part of a country enriched them. Becoming one nation made them all better. Yes, some of the states had to give up some of their sovereignty. They couldn't make their own currency, but you know what? They prospered because of it. And it's really the same with people on an individual level. You know, all the libertarians who talk about, you know, and the objectivists who talk about rational self-interest, you know, that's all a crock. You can only take that to a certain extent. Humans are social animals, ladies and gentlemen. And we're unique among social animals because we like our individuality. Because, you know, the thing about it is, if you talk about the more successful community creatures in the world, the ants and things like that, those are very rigid societies. It's not a life any of us would want to live in. Yes, they're wildly successful. Ants have been around for you know, hundreds of millions of years. Virtually unchanged, because there's really not much to change in that. And to a certain extent, we kind of need to be that way to work together, to grow food and to support each other. But we're unlike them in that we're not, you know, we're not mindless drones. But unfortunately, there are people who like to pretend that they're the queen bee or the queen ant and think they can control everything and everybody else is just a worker or a drone. And that we're disposable. That's how some people see it, unfortunately. But it's amazing that the founding fathers did everything by debate and not, you know, I'm going to bust your face if you do this. Or I got an army out there that I'm just going to force my will on you because you don't have any other choice, because if you disagree, you're going to die. It wasn't like that. Anyway, what do we got? We got the quarter of the hour break here coming up. So 11:44 according to my clock. If you want to give me a call, we can talk about this because this has really become very interesting to me, and I like to talk about it. But give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4. Head on. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time. And it goes back for years. You know, let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called CaloVita. And it was a multi-level marketing company that reaped that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Have you ever lost too much money gambling? Did you ever think, just one more hand and I'll win it all back? Just one more roll of the dice? Or one more coin in the slot? This could be a sign of problem gambling. And like any addiction, it's hard to stop on your own. So if this sounds like you or someone you know, call the toll-free Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-866-NO-BET-00. That's 1-866-662-3800. Problem gambling can happen to anyone. If it has happened to you or someone you care about, please call. Confidential, professional help is available 24 hours a day. The Problem Gambling Helpline is funded by the Kansas Coalition on Problem Gambling and Addiction and Prevention Services. A message from the Problem Gambling Helpline and this radio station.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the radio show. 1-877-443-2366 is the number to call in. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we're talking about a lot of different things today. I had something I wanted to talk about. Hang on a second. Let me get back to it. Now, the whole thing with Iraq started in 2003 or so. Actually, it started right after 2001 because you knew they were going to use that excuse after 9/11 to try to get into Iraq. I knew it anyway. And in fact, as I've said before, the first thought that ran through my head when I was watching reading the news about the towers going on was Reichstag. And for those of you who don't know that, that's in Germany, the Reichstag is like the House of Representatives building. It's their parliament building. And it was burned down. And Hitler used that as an excuse to get more power for himself and so on and so forth. And the thing about the Nazis is a lot of people think that, you know, it acted like the Nazis took over overnight. They did not. It was a long, slow progression. It took about, I think, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years for them to take the kind of control that they had. It's taken a little longer for the Republicans to get to this point. And, you know, we have corporations controlling the Republican Party. We have corporations controlling part of the Democratic Party. We have corporations controlling the press, certainly. So you're really only going to get the corporate spin on a lot of issues these days. And we were talking about that on Friday, the golden handcuffs, people who get paid a lot of money to produce the news. And, you know, that's they get used to that lifestyle, and they don't want to go back. They don't want to be someone like me, you know, struggling to make rent, struggling to make time. So a lot of these people are perfectly willing to just go with the flow, unfortunately. And I forgot, where the hell was I going with that? But yeah, going to war with Iraq. You know, because they had the media out there, you know, downplaying all of the protests. And you have to understand that the protests, some of these were bigger protests than we had for against Vietnam. There were a lot of people who didn't want to go to war with Iraq, including myself, and it had nothing to do with you know being little weenies and not wanting to go to war. No, look, you have to just sit there and say, this is just wrong. It's just plain wrong to declare war on a country that is no threat to you just because you don't like them or just because you want to make yourselves look good politically, just so that you can strut on an aircraft carrier in a little flight suit and pretend you're Roger Ramjet. This country is not here to serve the purposes of a few vain people. This country is here to serve the purpose of all of American citizens. And unfortunately, we have become very lazy citizens. We're concerned with our own lives. We're concerned with a lot of gossip. I mean, when I go to my day job, I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of the talk and all these people talking about different celebrities or different singers and stuff like that, and who they're going out with and who they're dissing and things like that. And I'm like, and I just kind of shake my head because, you know, people have kind of always been like that. Hang on. At least certainly since the days of big media, since, you know, we had movies and radio and things like that where communications can go out to huge numbers of people. And as I started to talk about before, the internet has made a huge difference because it's of all of these industries, of all of these big industries, big communication industries, it's the first one that people can use that is interactive. TV is not really interactive. Radio is not really interactive. News media isn't really interactive. Yeah, you can write letters to the editor, but you know what? They're still the ones to determine what letters get printed. They're still the ones to determine what news gets made. And the reason they were able to get away with what they got away with in Iraq is because the big media, because the internet really hadn't taken hold yet as much as it should. Because people say, oh, yeah, it's news on the internet, blah, blah, you know. Even though a lot of the times the news from the internet is much more accurate than the news you're getting from the so-called traditional sources. But the traditional sources were the ones that were pushing for the war and who were downplaying. I remember reading the headlines in the New York Times, you know, tens of thousands protest. You know, it wasn't tens of thousands, it was hundreds of thousands. In some cases, it was a million or so. More people than marched with Dr. King for his that were there for Dr. King that went for his I Have a Dream speech. Now, who was for the war in Iraq? Who was for it? Well, people who were scared. And certainly there were people who were in New York City who were scared. And people who were all gung-ho for war, you know, certainly the rednecks was out there, oh, yeah, well, go get them Arabs. Excuse me. Gotta go get them Arabs. Gotta go get them Iraqis. We'll go get them, boy. We'll show them. Unfortunately, too many of those decided to opt out of the war. Cowards. They're in the most important and vital fight in the world, and we got to go out there and fight. But, you know, I can't really do that because I got things to do here. I'm going to sit home and then type on the keyboard there, and that's how I'll do my fighting. 101, fighting keyboards. Lay down your weapon and crack a beer. We ain't going away from here. We used to sing songs like that when I was in the service. Yes, when I was in the service. Well, any of you right-wingers out there listening, yes, I was in the service. I was in the Army Reserves, and then I joined the United States Air Force as a regular, full-time Air Force guy. I was a sergeant in the Air Force. I worked in precision measurement electronics, PMEL for short, electronic calibration. I did my work at Misawa Air Force Base in Japan with the F-16 Fighting Falcons. And then at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, Great Falls, where we helped to maintain the Minuteman missiles, the nukes, the bomb that Slim Pickens gets to ride off into the sunset. Yeehaw! I was in the service. And for all you chicken hawks out there screaming bloody murder about we got the Arabs, where are you? You all for the war? Where are you? Well, I'm going to sit here and type on my computer thingy here and all that. You know, all the red state people, all the rural staters, all that stuff. And, you know, and let me get back to it, because when I was watching the football game, I don't have, you know, a real nice TV set. I don't have a remote where I can mute the channel like I used to, because I hate commercials. I hate listening to commercials. But, you know, I don't want to. I was comfortable laying down watching the game, and I didn't want to get up to turn the sound off. So I had to listen to this. And they got these commercials. Almost all of them are for pickup trucks, of course, because they know who their audience is. And they got that song, "This Is Our Country," and it's all, you know, shots of, you know, the farmlands and all that stuff. Because, you know, all the people who live in New York City and Chicago, we're all pointy-headed, college-educated types. And we all, you know, we all sit here drinking our lattes. And those people are so rustic, and we don't like them. You know something? If it wasn't for the pointy-headed progressives and the do-gooders, these people out there would be lucky to grow enough food for themselves, never mind growing enough food for the country. Because the only reason they're able to grow food for themselves like that is because of the technology that was created by the pointy-headed smart people that they despise, who follow the science that they hate because it goes against their religion. You'd be lucky to have a plot of land to grow your own food. And if disaster came and the weather wiped it out, well, you know what? You're screwed. Where would y'all be without liberals? You rednecks, where would you be without liberals? If it wasn't for liberals, you wouldn't have electricity down there. If it wasn't for liberals, you wouldn't have an interstate highway program that makes your nice, lovely suburbs possible. If it wasn't for liberals, you wouldn't have a country. Because the founding fathers were liberals. They were radicals. They didn't believe in forcing their way on other people. They did it through debate and through reason. Alexander Hamilton wasn't raising his own army. He was making his ideas known and fighting for the things that he believed in. I got off on a tangent there. What the hell was I talking about to begin with? Did you get me ranting and raving, and I just lose track of what I was talking about? People call that ADD. I don't know. Oh, I was talking about Iraq. You know, all that stuff leading to the war. Who was all for it? Who was all for it? I certainly wasn't. And I, you know, I really get pissed off where people saying that, you know, I'm just a little wussy boy because I didn't want to go to war. Well, first of all, you know, you war supporters are little wussy boys because you didn't want to go to war, right? Some things are just wrong. Some things are just plain wrong. And going to war and killing thousands of people for no reason is morally wrong. And you talk about situational morality. This is one of those instances where it's not situational. It's not in self-defense because these people weren't a threat to us and they were never going to be a threat to us. Anyway, we got the top of the hour coming up in the news. Give me a call. Let's talk to this. Why did you not support the war in Iraq? Why did you think it was wrong? Or if you did support it, why did you? Give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4HEAD-ON. The first hour is over. We got the news. We'll be back with the second hour. The Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Another bloody day in central Baghdad. 3 car bombs in 2 marketplaces killed at least 100 civilians. More than 200 have been wounded. Also, a mortar attack on a primary school killed 2 adults and wounded 8 children. The U.S. military says Saturday was one of the deadliest days for American forces in Iraq in 3 years. 27 troops were killed Saturday, 12 of them when their Black Hawk helicopter was shot down by insurgents. As President Bush prepares his State of the Union address for tomorrow, polls show he is the least popular president since Richard Nixon. The most recent Ipsos poll says 66% of Americans think the country is on the wrong track. Newsweek's poll says support for the president's handling of the Iraq war has hit a new low, 24%. The 1st Brigade in President Bush's surge strategy arrived yesterday. The 3,200 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne will focus on suppressing sectarian violence in and around Baghdad. In Iraq's capital city, radical anti-American cleric Murtada al-Sadr ordered those under his control to drop their boycott of the Iraqi government. 30 lawmakers and 6 cabinet members allied with al-Sadr returned to government yesterday. For the first time, Vietnam will allow the U.S. Navy to search for American forces missing in action 30 years ago. More than 58,000 Americans and 3 million Vietnamese died in America's 13-year war there. Thousands remain missing. In Iran, 38 inspectors with the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency have reportedly been denied entrance to the country. Also, Iran's president announced 3 days of military missile tests beginning today. In England, authorities are scrambling to unload 3,500 tons of fuel from a British container ship beached last week during the region's worst storm in a decade. This morning, the Coast Guard began cleaning up the 200 tons that have already seeped into the sea. The containers, some of which have washed ashore, are thought to contain hazardous substances. Another winter storm is battering Mid-America and the central Atlantic coast. Snow, ice, and frigid temperatures have killed 11 so far. In Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court today limited judges' discretion in sentencing prisoners. The ruling in the California case may shave as many as 4 years for most prisoners' sentences. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I am Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I am here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A Duke University study shows an MRI brain scan can detect a person's altruism. Tests have successfully demonstrated a specific area of the brain predicts a person's altruistic behavior. 19 newspapers in Belgium have accused Yahoo of violating copyright laws and have demanded Yahoo remove links to their archived stories. Google has already done so following a legal challenge from the same group. American human rights groups are cooperating with some of the largest internet companies, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and Vodafone, to develop a program to guarantee civil liberties for online customers. Chipmaker Intel and software maker Sun Microsystems are expected to announce a partnership today. Sun will use Intel chips in some of its servers, and Intel will endorse Sun's Microsoft operating system Solaris. Eaton today posted a 14.8% increase in quarterly profit. The diversified manufacturer cited good sales in its fluid power and electrical units. In Libya, the government plans a massive layoff of more than a third of its workforce, 400,000 people. The move is expected to save Libya more than $3 billion annually. Light sweet crude is trading at $52.99 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 92 points, the Nasdaq down 27. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, here we are. We got the second hour coming up on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the wonderful, beautiful Head On Radio Network. And I am proud to be a part of a progressive, liberal, important radio network. And I'm happy to have all of you there. I want to thank Zach for producing the show. Zach took over from Agnes a little while ago. And I want to thank everybody out there listening, and especially the people who call in. And speaking of people who call in, we have Ray on line one. Hey, Ray, how are you?
Doing okay, Joe, I guess. I just call to say, you know, I was always against the war. I've been against every war since since I had to even consider, you know, being in the military. I became a conscientious objector on religious grounds based on the fifth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." I was more afraid of losing my immortal soul than losing my life. And I have always been against war. I feel like violence is all it does is feeds more violence. It creates another need for somebody to become more violent to overdo my violence or whatever.
Right, and I admire your principles on that, because that's what you're doing is consistent within your principles.
But the problem is, people don't realize that, even Christians don't realize that Christ was teaching nonviolence, and that's why he was killed. He couldn't. Mm-hmm. He couldn't defend himself, otherwise it would have wiped out his whole teaching.
And if the Bible is correct the way I know it, Jesus knew he was going to be killed. That's why he went to
You could just look at what happened to all the prophets. They were all killed.
Sure.
And Jesus even gave the parable about the owner of the land, saying, the linen leased it out to wine dressers or whatever, and they abused him. They killed everybody that came to get what was due, and he sent his son, and they did the same thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't recognize Christ as being God, or the one destined to become a sacrifice to himself, so to speak, since you say Jesus was the Son of God, he was God. But the thing is, if you believe that, you tend to forget that, hey, he was teaching nonviolence. What if he was a man? He did something that nobody else was able to do, and that was to stand behind what he said and teach and show others enough others that he was serious about it.
And again, he's consistent within the principles he said. And what was the only time he got angry in the Bible, when he was turning over the temple?
Idolatry.
The moneylenders.
Idolatry in the temple.
Exactly.
The fascists. They were part of the Roman system. The temple was part of the Roman system.
Mm-hmm.
They used the Roman guards and everything to throw them out.
And here's the thing, because I'm an agnostic. Okay, I don't particularly care much for organized religion.
I don't either.
But But I got nothing against Jesus, you know. I think Jesus was a great and wonderful person, and I really wish more people would actually listen to some of the things that he had to say instead of just picking and choosing what you want to believe, you know, and using it along those lines. Because if you listen to some of these Bible, you know, especially the Sanctity of Life crowd speaking about the unborn, mm-hmm. They certainly don't seem to care about the sanctity of Iraqi lives, right?
That's true. I mean, you look at what happened before the bombing of New York or the attack on New York. You could always say that, hey, we have been responsible for 1 million deaths in Iraq because of the sanctions.
Uh-huh.
If you look at that, the percentages. There were out of 3,000 people that died in New York in the World Trade Centers, there were 15 people per floor, basically. You look at the numbers of Iraqis died from sanctions before the war, and the number of people died in the towers. It was like one out of 217. One for every one American that died in the World Trade Center, 217 died in Iraq.
A lot more than that. If some things are correct.
Also, you know, it's like, well, let's see, I've done a lot of numbers, playing with numbers and everything. It was like we killed 1/28 of the population of Iraq through sanctions. That's 1 million out of 28 million. Big numbers. You know, that's like saying one out of every 28 Iraqis died because of our sanctions.
Right. That would be the equivalent of like 10 million Americans.
Right. And if you look at the number of Americans that died, it's like one out of every 98,000, I think.
And Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, too.
Nothing to do with it at all.
And there were all. What was it? There were 19 hijackers, right? And 17 of them were Saudis, and the other two were Egyptians. Is that correct?
Something like that. Yeah. Nobody from Iraq.
And, you know, Hussein, from all the reports of the foreign press that I hear from the British press and from other places, Saddam was perfectly willing to go into exile. He was, in fact, offering that. So, look, I'll just go into exile. You know, there's no reason to do this. But they refused that.
The Japanese, before World War II ended, wanted to surrender, but they had some provisions. They said, you know, but we have some conditions. And the government says, our government says, no conditions at all, you know, and what do? We gave them the conditions they wanted after we had dropped two bombs on them, which were just tests, you know, like Divine Strike. Remember the test they were supposed to do in the Nevada desert with the bunker buster bombs?
Mm-hmm.
We just moved them over to Israel and Lebanon.
Well, I still, you know, it was a different situation back then, and the detonation of the nuclear bombs was more of a threat to Russia, or more of a warning to Russia about what the Russians wanted to do. But, you know, it's still a little bit different for me, because World War II was a very different type of thing from this Great War on Terror, which is largely a fiction that they've concocted.
You've got boogeymen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's their terrorists.
But, you know, at least when the Japanese attacked us, I mean, we didn't declare war on Argentina. You know what I'm saying?
True, right.
You know, and I mean,
well,
I was...
We've declared war on them since.
And I was perfectly happy with them going into Afghanistan and trying to capture Bin Laden, even though I knew it was kind of a pointless type of deal.
CIA, I thought the CIA had their hands on it.
And there's so many conspiracies going on, and you don't really know what's what anymore. And the truth of the matter is that the Bin Laden family and Bin Laden himself was a CIA operative, just like Saddam Hussein was a CIA operative.
Yes.
You know, beforehand. So, you know, the Shah was a CIA, was put into power by the CIA back in 1947. You know, so we've been meddling in these guys' affairs for a long time.
We've been meddling in the whole world's affairs.
Yeah. It's Trantor, man. Like one guy pointed out on the web, it's Trantor. We're the planet Trantor from Isaac Asimov's Foundation series, where at the end of the Galactic Empire, they were just basically reduced to just fighting for the five worlds that supplied them with food. And that's what we're doing. We're, you know, oil is in our interest because oil drives our economy.
Yep.
And so we're protecting our interests. But rather than trying to protect our interests in a rational, reasonable way, we're protecting our interests by use of force.
Yes. Which is
and
wrong.
That's it. Which is wrong. And unfortunately, we're coming up on a break here, so I have to let you go, Ray. But listen, you make some great points, and I agree with you. Even though I'm not a Christian,
hey,
I'm all for
I
your interpretation of it.
You know, I mean, I recognize anybody, you know, for their consciousness. But that, you know, conscience, the word conscience comes from con and science, and this is not
right.
A scientific government.
I hear you. All right, we got a break coming up. Ray, thanks again for the call. Take care. And yeah, of course, you know, and I'm tolerant of Christians so long as they're not out there trying to pass laws that say I have to be a Christian or be a second class citizen. That's the way I feel. Anyway, if anybody else wants to give it a call and anybody else who wants to talk on the subject, number is 1-877-443-2366. We got a Puffy Yami-Yumi break coming up. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Show with a Head On Radio Network and the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen. What would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. It's 20 after 12 here in Chicago, 20 after 1 if you're on the East Coast, 20 after 10 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. I'm still kind of really getting used to Central Time. Central Time is pretty strange because all the shows start at a different time. If you live on the East Coast, for example, The Simpsons starts at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. If you live on the West Coast, The Simpsons starts at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. But if you live in the Central Time Zone, The Simpsons starts at 7 o'clock Sunday evening. I'm just using that as an example for time, of course. It's just very weird. You get used to shows being on at 8 o'clock, and suddenly they're on at a different time. I want to continue on this subject about why you went to war in Iraq, or why we shouldn't go to war. And I want to read almost verbatim what Avedon Carroll of the Sideshow, that's http://sideshow.me.uk, SIDESHOW, in case you didn't know how to spell Sideshow. And I hope my listeners are intelligent enough to know how to spell Sideshow. But it's sideshow.me.uk, one of the better websites out there. She's one of those, what I call information warehouses. She gives a lot of links. But every now and then she has a really, really good editorial. And she was talking about the war. And Avedon Carroll is an American, actually, who lives in Great Britain and who does wonderful work out there. Now let me read some of the stuff that she had to say about the whole thing. She said, "My first reaction to the sudden emergency of Iraqi WMD panic, that there was no reason for it. Any reasonably sane person over the age of 15 knows that war is dangerous, expensive, and terrible. You know that it kills lots and lots of people, leaves many others damaged, and makes new enemies with new grudges. It's profoundly destabilizing and carries with it the threat of wider, more devastating unrest. So you don't do it unless you absolutely have to. In the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, no one provided any credible justification for the war. It was obvious that we didn't have to invade Iraq. This is the overriding fact. Invading a nation without cause, you can call it preemptive, but that just means you don't have a cause, is breathtakingly immoral and equally stupid, and you do not do it. In this particular case, starting a war with Iraq was even more breathtakingly stupid than if it had happened during some sublimely peaceful moment that didn't happen to be while our success in Afghanistan was unconfirmed and by no means assured. We'd already started a war and had shown no sign of having accomplished the things that needed to be done if we were to be successful in Afghanistan. To start a new war at such a time was so obviously insane that it was simply incredible that anyone would suggest it." End quote. And yet, people who we normally consider would think would be sane, reasonable, rational people were discussing this as if it were a serious issue. And the progressive voices were basically locked out. Who did you get on the Democratic side, the guys who were siding with the Republicans? Senator Joe Lieberman. Well, you know, I think it's very important that we do this because it saves... I hate listening to this man talk anymore. You just want to smack him in the face. Every time I see him on TV, I just want to just go up there and smack him in the face. And somebody really needs to just smack. Just whack right in the face. Somebody needs to do that to George W. Bush. Maybe somebody did. You know, remember the whole black eye thing when he supposedly fed off the couch while eating pretzels? Someone suggested that maybe... Somebody gave him a shiner that Barbara just whacked him in the face for being an idiot. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying that's happened. But, you know, hey, it would be fun if we found out it was true. I would really enjoy it. But these were considered to be serious people by our so-called professional media. the so-called pros, the people who really are supposed to protect us against this sort of thing by giving us the right information so that we can say, you know, this is wrong or this is right, and we need to support this or we need to not support this. And instead what they were doing and what they continue to do is propaganda for the Bush administration. And right now, everything that's going on, all this talk of victory, excuse me a second, is not really talk about victory because they really haven't defined what they mean by victory. It's all about saving George Bush's face. And if you're a parent out there who, God forbid, has a son or a daughter or a relative who's out there fighting in Iraq, you should be horrified at the idea that those people are out there risking their lives for one man's reputation. Because, you know, that's what they did in the days of old, of the old kingdoms. Whether you're talking about Roman emperors or Christian emperors, whatever. The pride of the king is essentially the pride of the country. And so, you know, if you insult the king, you insult the country. And George Bush does things in that kind of personable way. Because it's not about America. He's not interested in what's good and grand about America. He's interested in good, what's good and grand about himself and his smarmy little family. That's all he cares about. Does he care about you or me? No. As far as he's concerned, we're just disposable elements. Excuse me, my throat is starting to get really, really dry here all of a sudden. And because we have a country that's run by corporations, as I started to talk about in the beginning of the show, that's what people are. You know, when everything is just boiled down to just pure numbers and profit and loss and all that stuff, then yes, most of us are just simply disposable. And what I'm afraid of is that one of these days technology is going to get to the point where you don't need working people. And then what's going to happen? If you and me aren't necessary, how do we know that we're not just going to get killed off? There's an anime series by Reiji Matsumoto called Galaxy Express, Ginga Tetsudo 39. And I'm not going to talk about the specific story of the show, but in general, the future that the show envisions is that you have people that are based, they're called machine men or robot men, and basically people who are wealthy enough to have their minds put into mechanical bodies. And, you know, because they were wealthy enough to have, they were the elite, they were the best, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, that way they can perpetuate themselves over, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years, because the mechanical body is going to last a lot longer. And basically, they treat other human beings like cattle. They hunt them, in some cases, and kill them. The main story involves a young boy named Tetsudo, whose mother was killed by a machine man. And he wants to get revenge on that. And, in fact, his mother was hung as a trophy on this guy's wall. They literally had people, you know, heads of people or torsos of people that he had killed on his wall, just like we'll do with deer heads and bison or whatever the hell, you know. And I'm wondering if in a certain way, shape, or form, if that...
Sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, we're back here for the last half hour of the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. And we're living here in corporate America. And you know, one of the things, let's talk about the politics of the Democrats and how they're trying to wind their way through the political system that is definitely geared against them, even while the general population is generally for them. The Democratic Congress right now has a 60% approval rating. Mr. Bush's approval ratings are in the 30s, which are unbelievably low. And yet people are afraid to challenge him. You'd have a president that this many people despise, and I mean despise, you would think that people would be able to stand up to him. But the reason why they don't is because the professional media and the traditional forms of communication are all controlled by corporate interests that basically want Mr. Bush to succeed, even as they want America to fail. And when I say they want America to fail, is that they want the whole idea of people having the economic power to have a little control over their own lives, because they want to build a society where people are afraid and people are too impoverished to stand up for themselves. But the Democrats, you know, and what really angers me is how Democrats sometimes talk about they have to be civil and they have to play it nice. No, you know, you do not have to play it nice. You be magnanimous in victory, but you be victorious first. And magnanimity doesn't necessarily mean being nice. You cannot do to your opponents what your opponents have been doing to you, but you can free to call them the sons of bitches that they are, because that's what they are. They are anti-American. They are anti-freedom. They are anti-life. And don't give me any of this crap about, you know, sanctity of life, pro-life. They are not pro-life. Pro-life is not what they're all about, because they are not consistent. They'll talk about the rights of the unborn, and yet, you know, if you're a brown person who lives on land that where they have something and you want it, then it's perfectly justifiable for them to just kill you and take it. That's the way they see it. That's the way it's been. How many people have died in Pat Robertson's gold mines and diamond mines? Because of neglect, because all they're concerned about is how, you know, a few people are going to be making a ton of money. And allow me to reiterate what I said is not the case, because it's something that we talk about in the military too. So if you're really good at something, they just make you do it more. And if you really work at your job, what they try to do is they try to push the limit and see how much they can get away with. What's the breaking point? And some of you all out there fall for it. You'll take on more and more, and you'll do more and more, and you'll do this and that, and you do that and this, and you feel, yeah, I'm a valuable employee. But you know, all that means is that maybe you just get to keep a job for a while longer until somebody figures out a cheaper way of doing it, and they can just cut you anyway. You don't get any more money from it directly. Not at all. And then they're just trying to figure out a way to steal your pensions. They'll try to figure out a way to get you to work for free. And eventually, if you allow them to keep going, they'll figure out a way to enslave you. Or just make you an indentured servant. Because when the bottom line is, you are disposable. And the only way you can become undisposable is when you group together with your fellow workers. Because it's easier to fire one person if everybody else is cowed. But it's a little bit difficult to do that if you know that if you fire one person, you have to lose your entire workforce. And this is what I talk about. We're our own worst enemies, people. We sit here and fight among ourselves, and we'll sit there and we'll say we have to work harder, we have to work for less breaks, you know. And we assume that we will get treated well for it. And the truth is, you won't. They will take advantage of you. They will see how far you can go. And if you refuse even one time, your reputation is ruined. For every, how does that go? For every 10 oh craps, you get one attaboy, something like that. One attaboy, 10 attaboys equal to one oh crap. That's it. If you have one screw up, it wipes out 10 good jobs. You see what I'm saying? Maybe I don't get the sayings right, but you know what I'm saying. Every time you do good just once, but every time you do bad just once, that wipes out 10 good things that you've done. And that's just not right. And meanwhile, where's all the money going? It's going into really generous salaries for executives and for CEOs and for huge pension plans. What I talked about on my last show, I talked about the CEO of Home Depot, who basically came in and screwed up the company, and yet he got a retirement package worth $200 million. $200 million. $200 million would hire 4,000 people for a year at $50,000 a year. Think about that. And how many people at Home Depot make $50,000 a year? None of the hourly workers do. And yet they just gave it to this guy who basically screwed up the company. And you know what? And again, I don't know the specific details. I bet your ass that they had to wind up laying off a lot of people because of screw-ups he's made. I'll say it right. I bet your ass they had to do that. And yet, Home Depot, or as one of my commenters on my blog mentioned, Home Despot, I like that name. And yet Home Depot did lay these people off, I'm pretty sure. And they felt like, we got to fire this guy because he did such a bad job, but we're going to give him $200 million. $200 million. And meanwhile, if I go to my job and I screw up badly enough, I'll just get fired. And then I have to try to explain to my next employer why I got fired, my next potential employer, or just lie and say I didn't get fired, that I left for other reasons, or I got laid off. I don't like to lie, but I'll tell you a little secret. I'll do it if I feel like I have to, if I feel like the odds are stacked up against me. I don't like it very much. I wish sometimes we lived in a world where it wasn't necessary. But as you and I know, when it comes down to doing stuff like that, that's what you got to do. We've got someone on the phone, but you know what, Zach? Let's do this. Let's take an early break here. Let's take a break now if we can. That way we can get Sarge on the line for the next. Because I don't want to bring him on and just have to cut him off after a couple of minutes. So let's take a break a little early. So hopefully we have a little bit more time to talk with Sarge, and we'll be back to talk with him after the break. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Network. Thanks, Zach.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And let's just get right to the phone. Let's get my good friend Sarge on the line. Hey, Sarge, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, other than this old wet, rainy weather.
Man, nasty down there, huh?
Oh, it's just been raining for, let's see, 5 days now.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's got my old throat sore and everything, man. It's that kind of weather.
I'm sorry to hear
but
that,
it's
Sarge.
Warm, but it's warm.
Yeah, here when we get rainy weather, and it generally means snow because it gets cold up here. And if you saw any of the Saints game yesterday, you saw it was starting to come down, especially near the end of the game.
Well, I don't have TV anymore. After Katrina, they let us have our cable for a little while, and they didn't charge us for it. But then when they started charging, boy, they went up on their rates, and
I couldn't pay it at the time because...
Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah, isn't that a surprise? But after I missed it for a little while, when I did get the money, I just said, well, you know, no use wasting my money on that. I put it in the...
You don't need it, you know? You don't really need it. You look at things and you think, oh, my God, how do we do without us? And it's like, you know, you don't really need it. I get more of my entertainment and information from the Internet anyway, so...
Yeah, I just found out Mark Levine's got Jim Yancey coming on this week.
Great. In fact, he just entered our chat room. He'll be coming up next after the show. So I'm real glad to hear that. And of course, Jim is always welcome to be on my show too. Maybe we'll have him again on Friday. How about that?
All right. You got his number and everything, right?
I believe I do. I'll double check.
If you don't, I do. I'll tell you one thing that's happened, and it's really a good situation. There's one of my sources down there that, in fact, the one that introduced me to Jim, has been having a lot of personal attacks on her and stuff like that, and she worked for this for one of the cities down there. And they've slashed her tires and stolen her identity and just done all kinds of stuff to her, you know. And she lives in the egg site. So
now, who's doing this? Is this local people there, or is it the corporations?
Yeah, local people. It's just the government, city officials in the town. But anyway, she's Jim was able to free up enough money from all the things that we've been doing to help him out, and he was able to hire her and put her on, so she started to work last Friday for him.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And you know, it's really kind of a damn shame that private citizens like that have to do stuff.
Know, one thing about it, she's a very good grant writer. She's really, really talented at it, and so putting her on is really going to give him a better shot at getting some of these grants.
Well, I hope so, you know, because you guys need it. You know, and this goes to the point of what I was talking about earlier in the show and what I've been talking about throughout the show, Sarge. You know, here's the plain truth, and I'm going to say it right out, okay? The people on the coast out there and the people in New Orleans, they're just in the way. You know, these people, they want to build their casinos and do all these things to make a whole ton of money for themselves, and you people are just in the way.
Yeah.
Just like the people of Iraq are just in the way because there's money to be made. We got oil over there. How dare those people, you know, demand something for that?
Yeah.
And how dare those people whine about having their lives ruined? There's money to be made, damn it.
Yeah, well, they've let it be known that they want a tier one casino, gambling mecca. And if anyone gets in their way to setting it up, they're going to... you're either going to die or move. That's the way they're doing it. And the governor is going around telling people in other states, we're doing really good. We're recovering fine. Thank you. Which is BS.
You know, are they still close to pitchforks and torches time down there?
It's bad. I mean, the people are people are so angry down there and so disenfranchised that if someone wants to win politically in that area, all they got to do is go down there and get in with the people, because I guarantee you the right people get in there, they can win that area big time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people are that mad, and if somebody doesn't, I do expect to see just a really, really massive rise in the temperament of the people. And I mean, crime rate's up. I don't know what it is, but it's really, really high. The one city has a police force that is, last time I heard, 9 policemen short. And it's a small town.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, and it's... It's just crazy. It's a police state, but it's a police state where everybody's killing each other virtually. It's just, It's sad and it's crazy.
Well, every time I just think about it, I just want to tear my head off because you feel so powerless. And these people, like Dave, earlier caller on the show, said, how do these people get into power? And they get into power because they're ruthless. They're not any smarter than anybody else, but they're so unconcerned with the lives and the welfare of other people that they have no compunction of just going out and killing people and taking their money. Or if something else kills them, just stealing from them after they're gone.
Yeah, and if they can't do anything else, they'll starve them out. You heard Jim on the, forget what show now, but he was telling a story about a 70-something-year-old man who was on his family home. I mean, it had been there for decades, and maybe even a century. And he's gonna lose that land because they've got the prices so high on it and stuff that he can't afford it. He's just gonna have to turn it in, and it's sad. You don't take away the land that's been in people's families for generations like that. And we got some places around here that go back 200 years. It's just sick.
And it's not unlike what happened in the Dust Bowl out in Oklahoma during the Great Depression era, where all those people lost their homes, their farms that they had had for years.
Well,
and,
we know how the Native Americans felt. that's the way it's feeling, because if you don't give it to them, then they're gonna massacre you, and they massacre you with this. But it's bad. I mean, these people are sick. These rats. And that's all they are, is a bunch of rats. Listen, I want to tell you this. We got a couple of new writers. One's already. I just got them up. Elo. Has joined.
And this is unreportednews.net, right? Let's make sure we get that out there. Unreportednews.net.
Right, unreportednews.net. And Elo's just joined us. Her first article is up now. And I've got a music director coming on. AJ, the Music Factory, he's going to be going up sometime this week. And he and his wife are professional entertainers, singers.
Great. Great.
They're going to be writing songs for the site, and when we get our hourly newscast going, they're going to be doing the music for it and any podcast that we do and stuff of this nature. So.
See, and that's the wonderful thing about us here on the left, Sarge. Even though a lot of us are destitute, we don't have a lot of money, but we're always willing to do something to help other people out, because we understand that there's a greater good involved. Is it self-interest to a certain extent? Yes, because we're helping the community that we're a part of, but it's not completely and totally selfish like the right-wing SOBs are.
Well, if you gave just half of the budget that Rush Limbaugh has to Bob Kincaid, imagine where Horn would be.
Oh, it'd be incredible. I mean, I'd be perfectly happy to sit here and just do this for $25,000, $30,000 a year, to do the show, to do the research and do the occasional writing. That's not a lot of money, $25,000, $30,000 a year. That's barely above the poverty level, but it's more money than I've ever made in my life, really, So I'd be perfectly happy to do that, because I'm not in this for, making huge sums of money. I'm just in it because like I keep saying, I feel compelled to do this.
Yeah, that's what I do with Unreported News. Like right now, any donations sent in to us will be going for money to help the drivers out, give them the funds they need to get down here from Phoenix and Texas and stuff of this nature. Not a dime of it will be kept by me or anyone on the staff. You know?
Right. But, well, I certainly don't make any money on this, and but I don't think anybody in the Head On Radio Network makes any kind of salary at all. We all just do it as a volunteer. We have sponsors and stuff, and that helps pay for the server space. And Ben Birch, he's got a fundraiser going on right now. So nobody does it for salary. Nobody does it for salary.
Well, listen, I'm gonna hang up and let you get your last few minutes said. And thanks so much for all your support,
Sarge. You are the man. You are. My favorite guy calls in on the show.
It's the people that's stepping up to the plate that's the ones important, because they're the ones making the difference. All I'm doing is just being a voice. I thank you, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, Sarge. You too. It's our good friend Sarge out there from unreportednews.net. And just people helping people out, which is what we really need. And the unfortunate thing is that it really isn't enough. I mean, I'm sure Sarge would like to help everybody out. So would I. I would like to help everybody out on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and on the in New Orleans and all those places. So, anyway, look, we got the last couple minutes here. Let me say my thank yous. I want to thank Zach and Agnes for producing the show today. I want to thank my good friend Ben Birch at the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, for hosting my archives. We've got Mark Levine, the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine, coming up next here on the Ahead On Radio Network. And I might join him. I got to call up my work and see if there's any work for me today. If not, I will stay on the air for at least another hour or so I can talk with Mark, and we can talk about political events, because I got a big mouth and I like talking. And Mark doesn't have a scheduled guest. So, yeah, I'd be perfectly happy if I don't have to leave. So if I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not there, you'll know it's because I have to go to work. Because, you know, unlike some other radio show hosts that are professionals, I have to go somewhere else to make a living. In the meantime, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network saying, for everybody else out there, get back to work.
This is the Quality News Network. Another bloody day in central Baghdad. 3 car bombs in 2 marketplaces killed at least 100 civilians. More than 200 have been wounded. Also, a mortar attack on a primary school killed 2 adults and wounded 8 children. The U.S. military says Saturday was one of the deadliest days for American forces in Iraq in 3 years. 27 troops were killed Saturday, 12 of them when their Black Hawk helicopter was shot down by insurgents. As President Bush prepares his State of the Union address for tomorrow, polls show he is the least popular president since Richard Nixon. The most recent Ipsos poll says 66% of Americans think the country is on the wrong track. Newsweek's poll says support for the president's handling of the Iraq war has hit a new low, 24%. The 1st Brigade in President Bush's surge strategy arrived yesterday. The 3,200 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne will focus on suppressing sectarian violence in and around Baghdad. In Iraq's capital city, radical anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr ordered those under his control to drop their boycott of the Iraqi government. 30 lawmakers and 6 cabinet members allied with al-Sadr returned to government yesterday. For the first time, Vietnam will allow the U.S. Navy to search for American forces missing in action 30 years ago. More than 58,000 Americans and 3 million Vietnamese died in America's 13-year war there. Thousands remain missing. In Iran, 38 inspectors with the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency have reportedly been denied entrance to the country. Also, Iran's president announced 3 days of military missile tests beginning today. In England, authorities are scrambling to unload 3,500 tons of fuel from a British container ship beached last week during the region's worst storm in a decade. This morning, the Coast Guard began cleaning up the 200 tons that have already seeped into the sea. The containers, some of which have washed ashore, are thought to contain hazardous substances.